The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, June 6, 2021. And thank you for joining us for the Fear the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. Tonight's show, as always, contains spoilers up through the last episode and possible content from current AMC official Walking Dead promo materials. Welcome to Fear the Walking Dead's penultimate episode, Season 6, Episode 15. All right, I know Joan was waiting for that one. I'm actually going to give her some welcome applause. Thank you for coming. Always a very big help keeping this show together. All right, so Fear continues the back half of Season 6 to June 13th. There's only the Season 6 finale remaining next weekend. I need to tell you guys, I did not get any warning whatsoever that Fear the Walking Dead was going to take Memorial Day weekend off. And it's nice. They posted a little meme showing respect for the war fallen. But I don't understand why they were taking Memorial Day off, because the show was already filmed and Talking Dead betrayed us. So nothing was live. So I don't understand why they were taking off. It's a TV show frequently over Memorial Day weekend. Let's be honest. Most people are sitting around on Sunday night watching TV. So I'm not sure what people were supposed to be doing with their time instead of watching Walking Dead. I mean, the things that matter would have been Sunday morning and Monday morning. So I'm unclear what that was about. They've never done it in previous years. Although I have to stop and think about it. Truthfully, because of all of the schedule fuckery from COVID and everything else and rearranging, I'm trying to remember that it may be possible that The Walking Dead didn't have shows on in late May in previous years, and that may be the problem. I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm not dissing the respect that they wanted to show, but I'm saying that show's not connected to Memorial Day in some way, and I don't really understand what they're doing, and they don't run in a slot where we are honoring the war fallen. So it didn't make sense to me, and I didn't expect it, or I would have given you guys a warning on the page and I'm not coming. I kind of found out about an hour before the show started because I was on the Talking Dead page trying to figure out who was on the couch. And they had a graphic about taking the day off. All right. Anyhow, it's 8:33. This business about taking a week off has annihilated my math for when the other shows return and when. There's two whens there. I'm sorry. I had, like, flusters earlier. Let me get rid of that second one so I don't sound like a giant dork. Okay, by the way, new announcements indicate that Fear Season 7 will also air in 2021 at some point. I do not know how they are going to fit all three shows with a full season of World Beyond, a half season of Fear, and a half season of Walking Dead Classic, whatever a half season is for those guys, since it's 24 episodes over 2 years. We don't know when the seasons are going to take breaks and how many episodes between before they do so. So we don't know what any of that looks like. And then minus the traditional winter holidays break, you know, they usually show stuff until Thanksgiving weekend, so everybody can have some turkey and football and then come in and watch Dead Things. I tried to keep you guys updated, and they blew it up. So I apologize for that. Not my responsibility, but I know how frustrating it is because we like to plan things out, even for Fear, as much as it cheeses us off. All right. The Walking Dead Classic Season 11 has still announced they're returning on August 22nd for now. So we're either looking at the predicted mid-June or else a late fall after Walking Dead Classic, but we don't know how the episodes are going to go, blah, 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 something for World Beyond. World Beyond at the moment is still slated to be in late 2021. Now that they've messed the episodes up, June 20th, 2021 would be the first potential slot for it to run. And with 10 episodes in season two, this would take us to August 22nd if they do this plan, which would be the same day that ostensibly Walking Dead Classic returns. Now, they could do a double-stacked episode, as they've done a couple times before over the last year or two because of COVID. So I don't really know exactly how this works. I'm always looking. Every week I search, and I'll tell you guys the latest things that they've confessed to. I'm getting a lot of teasers, but no dates. So on that, don't tease me. Give me a cookie. All right, the fourth series is The Carolyn Darrell Show 2023. Angela Kang is showrunner. Not going to read you all the stuff. The episodic anthology Tales of the Walking Dead with, you know, every week is its own separate thing, also 2023. Scott Gimple has teased a couple of episodes, one of them possibly being a full plane crash sequence from World Beyond's pilot, and also possibly an episode dedicated to Madison. All right, so typically we start this show a half hour before the new episode of Walking Dead or whatever version of Walking Dead airs live each week at 9 with recaps from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m. we go dark or mute and watch the new episode together live, and then we rate the episode so far from 1 to 10, 1 being, oh my God, kill me now, 10 being, oh, I have reached Nirvana, and this is an amazing episode. Joan, remind me, if you remember, I don't believe we've ever given anything a 10. We've given a 9 once, maybe twice, once or twice, not very often. And that was the Walking Dead Classic. It certainly was not for Fear or World Beyond. Sorry, guys. And we also give you commentary during the commercial breaks. We give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more, whatever random things I can find on the interwebs. All right, our show is spoiler and comic free, so please don't bring up spoilers or stuff from the comics in the chat room or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show presented. All right, call in to speak with the hosts at 914-338-0314 anytime tonight, but I encourage you especially between 8:30 and 9 p.m. We've got about 20 minutes until 9 o'clock. So if you call at that point in time, we can talk freely because nothing's happening other than me talking. And if you call during the live episode, which is after 9 p.m., you will be screened and muted. And then at the next commercial break, we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, or you want to be able to talk in between stuff while the show is live, feel free to come to our live chat room, where you'll be able to listen to the show real time on the website, as well as go back after the fact and download the episode. And we post links for that on our Facebook page and occasionally my Twitter, which I did remember to do tonight, as well as my personal social media on Facebook, yeah. If you are unable to join us in real time tonight or any of our previous episodes, you can go to the episode link later, give it about 5 to 10 minutes after we close, and you can download the broadcast as an MP3 file podcast for later listening, or even just listen to it on the website. You just hit play instead of download if that's the thing. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page to download. I'm going to check real quick in the chat room and see if Joan's got comments. Yeah, she giggled at my, there's been a running joke with us, I think since season 7, just about. Joan says, ah, yes, the penultimate episode. And she's like, you mean we have to deal with more Fear this year? Nope, no tens. We never have. And definitely not for Fear, at least not since season 3. That is true. There is a chance that Fear Season 3 might have gotten some high marks, but nothing since that. Yeah, definitely. And I was surprised, too, to have 2 seasons of Fear in 1 year. I found that announcement very startling, but the date on the article was this week. So I don't know what's going on with that. I found it super peculiar that they would do this, especially given the size of Walking Dead Classic. They need the room for 24 freaking episodes, even if they're doing it over 2 years. I don't know why they just didn't have season 11 and 12. I don't understand why they needed to make it one big season. It doesn't change anything. They could have two seasons back-to-back that are close in time, close in plot. They've certainly done that before, so I don't understand some of what's going on. Angela, you've been doing very well with the show, but I don't understand what you're doing here. Can you please explain? All right, so enough fooling around. It's 8:40. Let's get down to the meat and potatoes. Tonight's episode of Fear is entitled USS Pennsylvania. And y'all know what that means. The whole thing with the key and the sub, blah, blah, blah. Official AMC synopsis is, in a race against time to stop Teddy's plan, motives are revealed and convictions are tested as Morgan and his allies infiltrate and make their way through the beached submarine that holds the tools for Teddy's destruction. And let's just call things by their proper name. It's got nukes on it. We know what the damn key is for, and that's why they needed it, because, okay, I'm not a nuke person. So if anybody is a nuke person, I actually know a couple people on my social media friends list who are for real people who know these things. I was pretty sure that it was true what you see in the movies, that you need two keys because you have to make sure that one of you is checking the other one. But, Joan, if you happen to feel like trying to look up and see if that's bona fide, what's going on, I don't know what you'd look under, and I don't want to take you away from actually enjoying the show with me, so that's up to you. All right, so that is the normal synopsis, and as I often do, I have a couple of additional synopsis for you guys. First one is from Ready, Steady, Cut, and it is from a website that contains spoilers, but I can't remember if they're real ones, like if they actually kind of ruin something. I have heard an interesting piece of news I'll share with you guys if you're listening to this before you have watched the show. Like if you're doing it right now live, obviously you haven't watched the show unless you have AMC Plus and you cheated, but don't talk to me about it. But I saw on a couple press releases that people were really itchy about the trailer that was put out this week. They said it ruined, it spoiled the episode and it spoiled pieces of the plot for the finale, and they pulled it. So at the moment, right now, ostensibly, you cannot download the trailer anymore because there was a big kerfuffle about all this. So I'm going to look at the synopsis, but I have two. So if I should happen to have gotten one that is too spoilery, I will stop and we'll go to the other one, which is from a source that is not usually like that, so that I won't ruin it for you guys. Okay, so this one is from ReadySteadyCut.com. And the author is Jonathan Wilson. It's written 3 days ago. So Jonathan probably has AMC Plus or press preview access or something. All right. So I'm going to read a little bit of this, but I sense that I'm not going to go that far and I'm going to stop. It kind of looks like that, just browsing ahead. So Jonathan says, USS Pennsylvania, the penultimate episode. Everybody loves that word. Penultimate episode of Fear the Walking Dead 6th season is a thoroughly bizarre hour of television. It's okay to tell you guys that. That's a little piece of useful information. It manages to take a setup with built-in drama and stakes, radioactivity, nuclear missiles, a race against the clock, and somehow second try of any tension. It crams several of the show's major characters in a tiny space, and we know that they're running around in the sub because it's in all the photos and the previews. Okay, and they can't think of anything for them to do beyond mortalizing and making doomed attempts at heroic self-sacrifice. What should be a pretty worrying ending becomes something I'm not going to tell you, even though it's obvious, because lots of times the setup is obvious and they do something else, so I'm not going to ruin it. Okay, this is getting spoilery, so we're moving on to the other one. And the second one is from BleedingCool.com, which is pretty reliable about not ruining things. And this one said, oh, Ed, this one is actually about the thing I told you when the teaser got taken down. So I will talk to you about that because I don't think they're going to spoil it since they're bitching about that. So Ray Fluke, their usual writer for anything Walking Dead, bleedingcool.com posted on the 5th. And hold on, I'm getting a bunch of pop-ups and I can't stand this. One of my browser extensions that gets rid of these things has stopped working and I'm very annoyed. If any of you guys use Chrome and you know a way to make pop-ups stop that's still reliable and still allowed, please message me somewhere and let me know. All right, so Ray has to say this, 8:45 p.m. With the penultimate episode, ha-ha, Ray, of Fear the Walking Dead Season 6 to hit AMC screen Sunday night, Morgan and our heroes are headed to a face-off with Teddy, Riley, Dakota, and the end is the beginning of apocalyptic proportions with the fate of the world and the Walking Dead universe at stake. So with that in mind, okay, I got to call them out on that one. It is super obvious that they are filming more stuff. And therefore, whatever is going on is not going to take out the whole world because we have little kids on the run to New York to see Daddy. And we have Eugene and all his buddies coming down from Pittsburgh with Princess and stuff. They're all running around up here and their shows are still going and still filming. So we know they're not destroyed past the point of being able to tell a story, at least. Sorry, this is just super obvious, and I'm not going to ignore that elephant in the living room. All right, so with that in mind, and in the interest of the season's no spoilers policy, we kindly suggest that AMC take down the teaser that's currently on social media because it not only spoils USS Pennsylvania, but also screws up a thing for the finale. We're not sharing or linking to it here, but it was out there at the time they wrote this. Update, the teaser was taken down. Everybody enjoy USS Pennsylvania. And then they have a clip with the opening minutes, which is not the ruining spoiler. It's a different one. Not spoiler, excuse me. Trailer. Teaser. I'm getting my nouns all kinds of messed up. Okay, so there's pictures and all of that stuff, and they have settled the business with the teaser. Okay. It is 8:47. Let me check the chat room. Joan is like, I'm on it. She's going to try to look up that thing I was asking a minute ago. Enjoy the show, right? That's funny. Yes, I understand, Joan. That's fine. Okay, writers and directors profiles, 8:48 p.m. Tonight's episode was written by Nick Bernadone and Nazreen Chaudhry and directed by Heather Capiello. Some of those names should sound very familiar as all of them have worked already on at least something in the back half of Season 6 of Fear. So all of them have just done an episode in the last month or two that you guys should know. Not all the same episode either. Okay, Nick Bernadone was born in Brooklyn, New York. How you doing? He is known for his work on The Walking Dead, Red Machete, 2017, 30 Rock, The Webisodes, 2008, and Bromos in 2009. I don't know what that is. B-R-O-M-O-S. He is the writer and producer of the Walking Dead web series Red Machete. Bernadone has had 6 nominations and 1 award win. Writers Guild of America 2018 and 19 noms for Red Machete. Nom. PGA Award winner 2013 Outstanding Digital Series for 30 Rock The Webisodes from 2008. Primetime Emmy Award nom, not winner, yeah, because we only have one. 2012 and 13 nominated twice for 30 Rock. And 2018 for Red Machete. Bernadone has also held various crew positions on Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Bloodline, Saturday Night Live, The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon, and other shows. He has 7 producer's credits aside from Red Machete and 7 writer's credits outside of Red Machete. He has 6 actor's credits since 2010 and 2 director's credits. He worked as a script cord for 26 episodes of seasons 7 and 8 of Walking Dead Classic and 13 episodes of seasons 4 and 5 of Fear. So he's doing double duty here. All right. Tonight is his 4th time writing an episode within the Walking Dead franchise. The first one being Fear, Season 5, Episode 13, Leave What You Don't, which he co-wrote with Ashley Cardiff. Second one was Season 6, Episode 9, Things Left to Do. And the third was JD, Season 6, Episode 13. Joan has nothing else to add and is probably looking things up, so let's continue. Co-author tonight, Nazreen Chaudhry. Nazreen Chaudhry is a British TV series writer, producer, and actress, best known for her radio dramas and extensive work in American television. Chaudhry was born in southwest London, England, the youngest of five children to first-generation Bangladeshi parents. She graduated with a BSc in biomedical science from King's College London with a view to becoming a doctor, but then completed an MA in screenwriting at the Northern Film School, having received a Film 4 Productions Channel 4 award. It doesn't really mention what changed her path exactly. It just says she did. She did a little bit of acting, but got her start behind the scenes in 2002, working as a story associate on the long-running UK TV soap Coronation Street. Chaudhry scripted episodes of British television serials such as Casualty, Doctors, EastEnders, and Waterloo Road. Her critically acclaimed radio play, Mixed Blood, won the Richard Imason Award in 2006. Chaudhry is currently based in Los Angeles and is married. She mentioned in an interview that she drew on her own experiences as a Bangladeshi woman married to a white man for her work on Mixed Blood. In 2006, she was also awarded a grant for the arts by the Arts Council England for her first novel, My England. Her first screenplay, Scum, won the Focus on Talent Award, a competition run by DNA Films. She was selected as one of the 10 finalists for the 2014 Fox Writers Intensive. She has written for A&E's Damien, Hugh Dini, and Doyle, Fox's Wayward Pines in 2015, CBS's Blood and Treasure in 2019, and she is the producer of Amazon Prime Video's Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan from 2018. In addition to her writing career, Nazreen has held administrative positions within the university setting and in the political field. She's very well-rounded. She previously served on the Board of Governors for the Local Education Authority and the Society Authors. That's an organization in capital letters. She is also involved with BAFTA's, B-A-F-T-A, Community Outreach Program, providing mentorship and training for students in South L.A., as well as running her own storytelling workshops in schools and professional settings across the UK and in Los Angeles. Nazreen has 5 TV acting credits. She has 6 producer's credits, including newly becoming a co-executive producer for Fear starting in season 6. She has 12 writer's credits to her name before writing tonight's episode, becoming her 13th. Well, actually, she wrote a couple episodes before that. That would have been her 13th. Executive producership notwithstanding, her second work on anything else in the Walking Dead franchise. The last episode that she wrote was Season 6, Episode 2, Welcome to the Club. And then she wrote In Dreams, Season 6, Episode 12, a couple weeks ago, and then tonight's episode. So she's actually written 3. I'll have to clean up that bio next time. All right, it's 8:54. We've got time to do Heather's bio and probably not a whole lot else before we'll go dark, so let's do that. Heather Capiello, C-A-P-P-I-E-L-L-O. Heather is an award-winning director of film, television, and theater. She has directed episodes of Madam Secretary, Criminal Minds, Blue Bloods, as she was a 2016 Voice Award winner, and the horror series Freakish, streaming on Hulu. Additionally, she directed the pilot presentation for the one-hour drama Corporate, produced by The Collective. Heather wrote and directed the short film Ruby's Tuesday that screened at more than 25 film festivals, including the Short Film Corner at Cannes. Notably, Heather was one of 2 directors chosen for the CBS Directing Initiative during the 2015 cycle and is a current protege in the inaugural DGA Craft and Mentorship Program. Heather helmed theatrical premieres in London, San Francisco, and Berkeley, including tenures with the acclaimed Shotgun Players and the Bay Area's Jawbone Theater Ensemble, which she co-founded. Heather was the script supervisor on more than 15 original single-camera dramas and comedies, including HBO's award-winning series 6 Feet Under, one of my favorites, Carnival, and Enlightened, and TNT's critically acclaimed drama Saving Grace, starring Academy Award winner Holly Hunter. Heather's debut directing episodes of Saving Grace was chosen as the submission piece for both Ms. Hunter's SAG and Golden Globe Award nominations. Heather is an active member of the Directors Guild of America, DGA, and serves as the appointed co-coordinator of the Activities and Events Standing Committee for the Women's Steering Committee. Heather has a writer's credit for a film short in 2005. She has 31 script and continuity credits going back to 98, including for 6 Feet Under, The Gin Game, the movie version in 2003, which I need to point out because she's done theater work, obviously, which is super cool, Monk, Parenthood, Criminal Minds, Suspect Behavior, and all the way up to Recovery Road in 2016. She has director's credits back to 2005, including Saving Grace, Criminal Minds, and Blue Bloods to 2019. Directing tonight's episode is Heather's second time working in the Walking Dead franchise in any capacity. She previously directed Handle with Care, Season 6, Episode 10. So let's give everybody some applause. Thank you for your work on the show. And it is 8:56. We got a couple minutes, so I might start sneaking into the trivia, maybe at least for this week, because there's not much. Trivia about tonight's episode will be the 84th episode of Fear ever. The title of the episode, USS Pennsylvania, obviously refers to the beach submarine that the Doomsday Cult is interested in. Co-stars tonight, Corey Hart as Raleigh again, uncredited unknown child as Morgan, the little girl, and unknown dog as Rufus, the hound dog. Death obviously will be announced later. And it's 8:57, so we can actually keep going a little. Trivia from last week's episode, Mother, episode 14. First appearance of the location Tramlin Hotel, which was the new cult bunker resort that kind of reminds me of a hotel here in Southern Virginia. First and last appearance of the auto shop Mabel's Parts. People, first appearance of Mike, cult member, played by Chris Patrick De Los Reyes. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. I've never seen that name before. It's quite unusual. First and last appearance of the following. Ms. Maddox in a photograph, who was Teddy's mom. The actress in the photo is uncredited. George in a flashback, who's a Texas death row prisoner, played by Michael Papajohn. Hayes, H-A-Y-E-S, in a flashback, was the prison guard, played by Tom Hallam. He was the one who was sassing Teddy, you know, do you really believe all that crap you're talking about? Last appearance of Cole in the present day. He was a baseball stadium survivor, played by Sebastian Sazi. Last appearance of Vivian, Douglas's wife Vivian, played by Rhoda Griffiths. And appearance of Douglas, stadium survivor, played by Kenneth Wayne Bradley. And we're at 8:58, so I'm going to sneak in one little piece. The title of the episode last week, Mother, refers to Teddy's mother, whom he talks about throughout the episode. Also refers to Alicia's mother, Madison Clark. This episode marks the return of Cole, Vivian, and Douglas, who have been absent since the episode No One's Gone. All right, it is 8:59, so I am going to pause here, and I'm going to go mute, and we will see you guys at commercial break number one. Thank you for joining us. Okay, guys. It's 9:08, and we are at the first commercial break, and now this is really funny. So Joan has reported back on the keys that I asked about, and I'm going to mention that first so I don't lose my place. Pardon my hiccups. And the conversation. Oh, sorry. Conversation. I apologize. So they have two keys for the submarine. Joan says they got the one key back from Morgan in that Grace episode. And they need to. Now, see, I thought there were two keys around the necks of those two guys that were graffitiing on the submarine. And one guy just got full-on killed, and I thought they got that key from him. And Morgan got the other key. I'm not 100% sure. I'm pretty sure they were cult members, so they would expect one to have a key. So Joan says they need two people because one person can't reach where both keys are to be inserted at once. Yeah, I also figured that was a thing. Jonah says she wondered how they knew about the complicated protocol that's also in place for getting the keys in the first place, but Riley, being the weapons officer, answered that. If it was not like the stereotype, I would say there every damn Jack Clancy novel it turns around. Tom Clancy novel, pardon me. Jack Ryan, Tom Clancy, pardon. It seems to have something about that in there. And Jonah's also said, why the hell would that woman bring baby Morgan on the submarine outing? I can only assume there was no one to watch her, but I do think it's kind of risky and dumb. Yeah. Joan is starting with a 5 this week, which is funny because I started with a 4-5. Joan likes the psychological stuff so far. Until they screw up the story, I'll start with a 5. That's perfectly fine. I think that's quite valid. So more power to you. And we are back. So I'm going to shut up. See you guys in break number 2. Okay, guys, it's 9:20, and we're now just at break number 2. So I'm going to go back up and get the comments and then come down to the scores. Joan had mentioned earlier that she likes the psychological stuff. Until they screw up the story, she's going to stay at 5, previous rating, and then has said, oh, look, they have the radiation sticks back. Grace must have kept some spares. How convenient. And then I made a grr face. And then Joan says, okay, why doesn't somebody just go back up the ladder to ask Lucy how many crew and exactly how would Lucy know anyway? Did I miss something? That's a very good question. Other than just being on the walkie-talkie, I don't know why Luciana would have access to that information or how they would know, how they could look it up or anything. But, yeah, there's 150 crew that are probably all dead behind that door. Yay. And Joan says, at least they're not suggesting the crew all died of radiation yet. I just assume they died of being stuck in there, and then a couple of them died and turned and attacked people and all that kind of fun. I don't know. Joan is staying at her 5. I'm willing to actually go up to 5.25 on this because I kind of liked the last bit. I'm having trouble articulating why. I really don't even know. While we're on break, let me go back to the trivia that I had not completed yet. I was telling you, characters, no, we did that part. We were just to the random trivia and facts. Okay. The journalists who wrote the newspaper articles that you can see in Teddy's jail cell include A. Period Radkin, R-A-D-K-I-N-N, Cameron, Moosebrook, with an E at the end, and Desiree Wallace. Interesting. A female extra who portrays one of the cult's new recruits exiting the school bus also portrays a second character, a resident in Valleytown. We're going to be going back in a minute. I'll try to get through what I can. It's revealed that many of the Del Diamond Baseball Stadium residents, including Cole, Douglas and Vivian, survived the stadium's destruction due to Madison Clark's sacrifice. Now, I'm going to predict in here they keep poking that bear because Madison is coming back. I know I was so far wrong about Tracy Otto, although I haven't given up on that one either. But Kim got really screwed and should be back on the show. Okay, going back to the comments and trivia. However, most of them died in an ambush a week later, and the 14 remaining survivors turned into a hostile group of bandits. It's not revealed if everyone escaped or if some of the stadium's residents died when it fell. With the deaths of all of Cold's group, the only remaining survivors of the stadium are Alicia, Victor, Luciana, and June Dory. Teddy reveals to Alicia that his plan is to use the two keys, to launch at least one nuclear missile from the beach submarine to cause the destruction of everything. Alicia manages to radio a warning to Strand, which probably explains why he's here now, but Dakota calls into question whether or not Strand will pass it on or simply run away. And on an advertisement for something on Paramount. Okay, co-stars Jackie Dallas as a female TV news reporter. That was the one on the TV in Teddy's cell. Uncredited Craig Cole as a prison guard and Roman Mitichyan, Mitichyan, as a burly prisoner. Deaths last week. Ms. Maddox, confirmed fate. George, Hayes, Cole, Douglas, and Viv. Two unnamed prison inmates, two unnamed guards, 11 unnamed members of Cole's group, many unnamed Del Diamond residents, and many unnamed victims of Cole's group. No goofs, errors, and bloopers listed. And we are back. We'll see you guys at break number three. There we go. All righty. It's 9:34, and Joan is at a 525. I'm going to go to 5-5. I find the story tonight somewhat tedious, as this show tends to be, but not nearly as bad as last week or some of the other weeks. Joan has mentioned this is a little too melodramatic for me at the moment, again. She went up 0.25 as charity. I had noticed that Morgan took the axe out and is using it. And Joan says it looks like he's on some kind of suicide mission from the looks of it. How noble. And then, let's see. Going back to the previous scores and comments, Joan had mentioned she was thinking kind of the same thing that I was. We have 150 people all stuck in there. A couple of them die and they turn, and then that starts to exacerbate everything, like they did in the prison season in the original series. I think that was, what, season 3 or 4, somewhere in there. And Jonah said that reading was way higher than 10, but Morgan called all clear. What the hell? And apparently Lucy and company stole the blueprints at some point. They might have gotten them from one of the cult members, because remember they were going through people's stuff, and they had maps and things. They might have gotten it from that paperwork. Okay, so of course, with Riley off the sub, they only have to deal with 449 crew members now. Okay, yes. All right, let me go back to my notes. We have cast birthdays. Since we skipped a week, we're doing anybody's birthdays between May 30th up to June 13th, which is next weekend. So, birthdays this past week and further. Sarah Wayne Callies, who was Lori, June 1st, from LaGrange, Illinois, although raised in Honolulu. Madison Janice, this isn't a typo. It looks like Leslie, but it's messed up, so I don't know how it's pronounced. It's L-E-I-S-L-E. Madison played Jamie in the Walking Dead webisodes Torn Apart. Their birthday is June 2nd, and I do not know where they were born except that they're in the United States. Josh McDermott, who plays Eugene, his birthday was June 4th, and he's from Phoenix. Robin Lord Taylor, who played Sam in Season 4, Episode 5. Season 4 and Season 5, Sam and Anna and Terminus. June 4th, also in Shoeyville, Iowa. I don't know where that is. Caitlin Nakin, who was Enid in the Alexandria, is June 11th, and she is from Atlanta. And Ethan Phylan Randall, who was Ethan Embry, oh, no, goes by stage name Ethan Embry, was Carter in Alexandria, and his birthday is June 13th. He's from Huntington Beach, California. So happy birthday, all of you. And gals, and people, etc. All right, featured music from last episode 14, Mother. We don't have any songs noted. Unaccounted for characters, we're not really doing. Talking Dead, I know that they are going to resume next week for the finale, and next week we'll feature showrunners Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg, but also Coleman Domingo and Zoe Coletti, who plays Dakota. So we know that. And then the last episode, which will be the finale, episode 85/16, is called The Beginning. It was written by Andrew and Ian and will be directed by Satro, as often happens with the cornerstone, you know, the beginning or ending episodes, and that will be next weekend. Not June 6th anymore. It'll be the 13th. Let me change that. All right. We are back. I'll hush. I'll see you guys at break number 5, I think. Okay, Victor, you are on my feces roster. There was no call for that. And just because Alicia said, Tone's like, I'm done. I'm not even going to score. You know, I'm actually kind of angry that I started being generous because this show is rated PG-13, so I can say this. This is bullshit. Complete bullshit. This is not a plot. Stop it. Write something significant. I'm going to stay till the rest of the evening, going to read the rest of my stuff, but yeah. You know what? I'm declaring the rules are off, and I'm going down to a 4.5 for that. Fuck you, Victor. That was just not called for. Okay. Going to my notes, because my notes have more things to talk about. I had an article that I happened to run across. Not that we are really thrilled with World Beyond, but since they can't give us a straight answer about what the hell is going on, at least we can talk about some things if they're out. So this article is... my hiccups. This link looks wrong. There we go. Oh. The Walking Dead World Beyond Season 2 goes to, quote, crazy different places visited by Rick Grimes. This was written back on May 21st by Cameron Bolomono at comicbook.com. We're still in commercials, so I've got time. All right, let's talk about that for a minute. Walking Dead World Beyond goes to crazy different places, unlike any seen before on The Walking Dead when the spinoff returns for Season 2, which is when? Teases series co-creator and executive producer Scott Gimple. The upcoming second and final season of the limited event series, which pits its split-up group of young survivors against the Civic Republic military on their turf, might even visit never-before-seen places once visited by the missing Rick Grimes, after his fateful helicopter flight away from The Walking Dead. Quote, there are some places that World Beyond will be taking place in, two very different locations, and there's a number of worlds this season on World Beyond, The Walking Dead chief content officer teased during a recent appearance on Twitch's TWD Universe. That's a Twitch channel. Very, very different locales that the story takes place in. It's two very different places, and there's a couple more crazy different places on top of that. Scott, you're saying the same damn thing four times. That is not a press release. You're a butthead. When showing glimpses of two new locations, including one with a metallic globe, and this looks kind of interesting, but I'm not sure how large it is or what it represents. Kind of artsy and shiny, very Art Deco or something. Gimple said viewers haven't seen places like this on the shows yet. Speculation that these mysterious locations are tied to the CRM is a very good guess, Gimple said. We are not back yet, but probably maybe soon. Nope, still commercials. Okay, the black-suited soldiers are a military force for the Civic Republic, the home of 200,000 survivors living in an advanced civilization approximately located somewhere in the southwestern United States. I find that really weird considering they're sending the kids to New York. This does not make sense. And the CRM links the three shows of the Walking Dead universe. Operational helicopters marked with the three circle symbol appear in the flagship series and spinoff Fear the Walking Dead and the first series of World Beyond confirms that CRM is conducting Walker experiments from a high-tech facility in New York State. Yes, New York State. Why would you have everything spread out like that? That's stupid. Okay. Quote, it feels scary sometimes because the show has lived in certain aesthetics. It's been that way for a long time, and to do this new stuff can be a little scary because you worry about people getting the bends from it, Gimple said about the CRM. It's also really exciting. It's challenging in a different way. You want to make it different, and these people have a very different society and civilization, but you want to make it connected to the world, consistent to the world, possible within the world that we've seen. And we are back. I'll see you guys at break number six. Okay, guys, it's 9:53. Scoring is optional at this point because the rage is high. Joan and I were last at 4.5, and we were kind of like not even bothering. And I understand why Morgan did not make sure Dakota was dead, but I'm kind of annoyed. I really think at this point, I don't know how he couldn't realize it was necessary. And Joan says, I'm glad Morgan is alive and he knocked Dakota the hell out, but I'm not going above 5. I'm not going above 4.5 for now. Strand needs to get the crap knocked out of him. He's put back seasons of progress in not being a douchebag. He has destroyed all of that work, and I'm not even sure what the hell for. How did this advance the story? What did this give to the show that was so meaningful and plot necessary? Because no. This is hot garbage. That's what this is. All right. 9:54. I've read most of the article, so I'm not going back to it. Let's give you the other shows on NDB Media so you guys can share the love. Monday Night in America with Roger Noriega. Usually Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Roger Dean Noriega brings you his unique take on politics, current events, entertainment, sci-fi, and history. Currently hosted on StreamYard, and you can go to the NDB Media page on Facebook to get the link. Fandom Access, we can review. Those are Tuesdays, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Join the fantastic fandom of Jamie, Karen, and AJ as they digest another night of TV. The shows that they cover seem to change every week, so I can't tell you what they're going to work on. They do sometimes talk about Fear the Walking Dead or Walking Dead, so you can check out and see what they've got to say versus what we say. The Nightmare Hunter, Tuesday nights, 10 p.m. I don't think it's every week, but it's a lot of Tuesdays. Let's see. Roger Noriega hosts this new series over on StreamYard. Also check NDB Media's Face page for more details. This coming Wednesday is an episode of The Rock and Roll Shrink. 6/9/21 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Join me and Atlanta psychologist Dr. Stephen Mathis, PsyD, a.k.a. The Rock and Roll Shrink, as we discuss matters of mental health and mental health. Our upcoming topic will be episode 110, We're Not Gonna Take It, Your Own Truth, which is about being true to yourself and your nature despite societal pressures or other kinds of pressures to the contrary. All right. We're not back yet. So, also, Travel Itch Radio, Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. This coming week, when the Boston Red Sox are on the road, Fenway Park still swings to the sound of music. Though more than a century old, the venerable ballpark has hosted some of the newest names in show business, plus countless others that are household names. Since the series began in 2003, the ballpark has been the musical home of Paul McCartney, Bruce Springsteen, and James Taylor, with Billy Joel and Lady Gaga headlining the 2021 schedule. Hear all about the concert series, past and present, on Thursday, June 10th, when the Red Sox executives Larry Cancrow and Beth Curtis join Travel Itch Radio for an interview with Dan Schlossberg and co-host Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee. All righty. So, that is that, and that is the end of my notes. Jonah said 4.5 for her if she's going to bother. Yeah, same hot garbage, different week. All right, so we have a commercial, but it seems to be a trailer for a TV thing, so it means we're probably going to go back in a minute. Oh, Kevin Can Fuck Himself premieres June 20th on AMC. You can see it early on AMC Plus. Now we're back, and they do have two keys. See you guys at the end. All right, you know what? I'm ending on a 4.5. I'm breaking the rules for this because I'm just fucking done. Gonna be here next week, but I'm aggravated, and I'm not gonna play fair because I'm just that aggravated. I do have a prediction. I have no spoilers, any reason to think this is true, but it just seems like it might be one of the only feasible ways to save this. I think CRM is going to have something in play to see that and do something about it because they're one of the only people left that have control over technology at that level. And that's the only thing that makes sense to me. So that's my prediction. Thank you, Joan, for hanging out with me, especially in light of tonight, because I know that was a big effing slog. And all of the cursing, we're earning our PG-13 tonight, people, let me tell you. Oh, my God. All right, so next week will be season finale, which is The Beginning, episode 16. Thank you not only to everybody who joined us tonight, but those of you who might be listening to this later via podcast, iTunes, or the Blog Talk Radio website. And special thanks to our host, NDB Media. We hope you will join us next weekend for another live watch party on the same network where we see the finale. And I do not know what is happening after that, and I will let you guys know as soon as possible because they have not announced any plans other than the August 22nd return of Walking Dead Classic. So I will attempt to let you guys know what's going on as soon as I know. All right, so thank you for that. Watch our Facebook page for showtimes and episode links. See you all next time. Jonas said, we can always start with a 1 at the beginning next week. Nowhere to go but up in that case. You know, I'm not pressed about going up if they haven't earned it. We can start anywhere we want. If you want to start with a 1, I am absolutely not going to fault you because I have to tell you tonight, after Stran made up something about how it was noble for him to pop Morgan for Alicia for reasons, the whole thing was just, oh my God, it was world beyond level dumb and disjointed and not part of what's going on. So I don't know, just blah, that's what I have to say about all of it. Okay, so I'll be here next weekend for those of you who can stomach it. Thank you as always for sticking it out with me, Joan. Appreciate all you guys. And thanks for joining us, and I'll talk to you next week. Good night.